So this morning, for just a few moments, I want to talk about cooperating with His Word. Cooperating with His Word. You see, it's one thing to hear His Word, and we come and we hear the Word, and we enjoy the Word. But do we always cooperate with the Word? Reality is sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Just really depends on what the Word is. Some words I like better than other words. That's just me. You know, some words I really like, I can do that. Other words I'm challenged by it. Well, I'll get back to that one. But it's in Isaiah 55, and this is a passage of scripture that we've looked at numerous times, but it helps to bring some clarity to a couple of things that I want to say this morning. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor are your ways my ways." So let's settle that, y'all. Let's settle that. Now, can our thoughts align with His and our words align with His? Absolutely, and they should, but never is He changing His. Are you hearing me? "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So there's no place you can ever ascend in your thinking and get anywhere close to God's. It just doesn't work. That's why it's important for those of you that were here during our time of intercession and even during our worship, and we begin to just really cry out, "God, have mercy," and we begin to just pray in the Spirit. Because I realize that my human vocabulary can't match heaven's language. I recognize that human words sometimes cannot and will not ever suffice articulating what needs to be said. How many of you know that the church needs to be praying right now? And we need to be praying with some power and authority. Well, the church should have always been praying, but we really need to be praying right now. And we need to pray with power and authority. And when you have that gift on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, that's your point right there. That's your superpower right there. That's your superpower right there. That's your superpower right there. When you're praying and you can't figure it out and you can pray in the Spirit, He helps, Holy Spirit helps you arrive into the place that where you pray is what the will of the Father is. In this passage in Isaiah, it says, "For as the rain and snow come down to heaven and do not return there without watering the earth or bringing to bear or sprout and furnishing seed for the sower and bread for the eater." There that is again. "So my word which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will not return to me void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." It's also in the book of Hebrews where it talks about the word of God, Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 16. It says, "For the word of God is alive, living, and active." King James says, "The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." I believe this is New American Standard Version. It says, "The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division or the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Meaning that God sees all, He knows all. His word is alive and His word is working. The reality is that you and I have, if you will, a free will. So we can choose to cooperate with the word, or we can choose to resist the word. We can choose to cooperate half-heartedly, or we can cooperate wholeheartedly. The word of God is a transforming word. Say transforming word. Come on, say transforming word. Yeah, this word working on the inside of us is transforming us. The work starts on the inside, shows up on the outside. Back in the day, years ago in the church, I didn't grow up in it, but it's the church where I met Pastor Maurice and we went to church. And one of the songs I used to sing is, "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life." Some of y'all know that? "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside." Yeah. "Oh, what a change in my life." If Edie was up here, she'd kick her foot. "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change. Sing it again, require. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Now, how many of you be honest enough to say that's a lot easier to sing than to walk it out? But that's what the Word of God is doing. And so there's the need for us to cooperate with the Word. I'm talking this morning about cooperating with the Word. It's challenging to cooperate with the Word because often as we are hearing the Word, we are filtering the Word through various perceptions and things that we have that often cause it to line up with the way we think it's supposed to go. That can be very troublesome when the Word of God doing what the Father has intended starts to look different, starts to feel different. It's taking longer than I thought it was going to take. You know, I got this Word and I was excited about this Word, but it's taking longer. And so it's causing me, and the challenge is, where we go often is, we don't doubt ourselves, we doubt God. Can't do that. Don't want to do that. When God comes to Abraham and he says, you're going to be a father. You're going to be a father. He gives him this word. You're going to be a father of many nations. Abraham was, how old was Abraham when he got that word? Anybody know? Just shout it out. How old was he? He was 75 years old. How old was he when Isaac was born? He was 100. So God says, you're going to have a son. You're going to be the father of many nations. And he's probably thinking in 9 months he'll be here. Maybe 10 months if it takes a little bit of time. He's thinking in his mind something different. But what I love about God and what I love about his word is that he watches over it to perform it. We're going to look at that in just a moment here in Jeremiah again. So cooperating with his word often will mean being patient. Yes, sir. Let patience have her perfect work, that you be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want you to know that when you're cooperating with the Word of God and you're headed down the road that God has intended, his Word is working even though you can't see it. But at the same time, I want you to understand that there are many opportunities to get off at the exit. There are many opportunities for you to think that there's a shortcut. And so because his ways are higher and his thoughts are higher, he's not thinking it. He already knows it. But Abraham is thinking, this is taking long. Sarah's thinking, this is taking long. So she says, listen, you can take my handmaid. Cooperating with the word doesn't mean you try to figure out how to make it happen and then you do it. Cooperating with the word means staying with God as that word is working, because the word is multifaceted. It's not doing one thing, it's doing many things on many levels simultaneously. So take my handmaiden. You know, we can speed this process up, get this word fulfilled, and keep going. The only problem with that is God ultimately helps us to know that was never my plan, that was your plan. In this case, God makes it clear. And so 25 years later, Isaac is born. The word is fulfilled. I choose to believe that Abraham really didn't know it was going to take that long. And yet God's word is working. God's word is working. God's word is working. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is working in you, and his word is working around you simultaneously. His word is working in the nation and in the nations. And for those of you that were watching TV last night and you saw the news and you know what happened, don't think for one moment that his word is not working. Don't think for one moment that his plan is somehow being interrupted. He's not that kind of God. As George was praying this morning, he kept saying, God, you're in charge. You are in charge. And we work to get that deep down on the inside of you, because you've got to grab a hold on that reality, particularly in the times that we live now, because even as God's word is moving forward, it can look like things are going backwards. It can look like there is no progress. It can look like, and if you stay on that page, you're going to miss, you potentially will miss God's movements amongst the mess. This past Wednesday, we came out for what we had a night of prophetic worship, declaration, proclamation. And I told the team that came out, I said, I just feel this urgency for us to really press in tonight. Those that were here, we found places in God in our worship, and we sang over the city. We sang over the community. We sang over the region, and we sang over the nation. And then we sang over the nations. And we declared many things just this past Wednesday. And when I came in this morning, I told Pastor Deborah, I said, now I know why Holy Spirit would have us press in that way. Because we were singing, the heavens are still open. His presence is still here. He's whispering, come closer. The heavens are still open. We declare that he is sovereign Lord. And we found those places because God has a way of leading his people if we are willing to walk with him and hear him in the places of intercession before it happens, before the stuff happens. The word of God is working. It's time to cooperate. It's time to cooperate with his word. It's time to cooperate with his word. It's time for our lives to line up with the word of God, find our place in God, find our place in the body of Christ, find out what our assignment is individually and corporately, and get about the business of the kingdom. My word to go forth, not return to you void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto the thing that I have sent it. God has a way of disciplining his children. And when we read in the book of Jeremiah, what you have to understand is the context that God is judging Israel. He's judging the people of God for their disobedience. He's judging them, disciplining them, all the while blessing them. Amen. So when Jeremiah comes on the scene, and here's Jeremiah 1:1-12, God says to him, I knew you before you were born. Before you were born, I consecrated you, appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Is it possible that God knew you before you were born? Is it possible that he had assigned some destiny to you, brothers? that the enemy has been trying to fight and see that it never happens. I know that's what he's tried to do in my life. Anybody else, has he tried to do that in your life? You start to get a sense of purpose and destiny, and you start to get a sense of God wanting to do something in you and through you, and through the enemy working through, I wanted to say well-meaning folk, but just any folk, and all of a sudden, you get off course, or you start speaking what God is saying he wants to do, and somebody says to you, I don't see you doing that. Well, what makes you think you can do that? You have to know that's the enemy who's fighting against the word. Or right when you start, all of a sudden, there's this disqualifying spirit that shows up from somebody. And unfortunately, sometimes it's the closest people to you. I'm just look up in the air. I ain't going to look at anybody. He says, I knew you. I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. And there was something about Jeremiah's upbringing, his situation that caused him to doubt that he was the guy. And I'm just saying to you this morning, listen to me. We all have had to overcome various things in our lives in the pursuit of God's best for our lives. And oftentimes it's because certain things were said to you that never should have been said to you, or things were never said to you that should have been said to you, that bring you into the place of recognizing you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created with purpose and destiny in mind. But there was something that the prophet had to overcome, because he begins to talk in a very doubting place concerning himself. He says, Lord God, I do not know how to speak. I'm just a youth. And the Lord said, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then he stretched out his hand and touched his mouth. Come on, just put your hand on your mouth like this. Now, I want to tell you this. When I read that, it wasn't that he was touching his mouth, giving him words. He was touching his mouth to shut him up. He was touching his mouth to stop him from saying what he couldn't do. Sometimes when you're about to say something, you just need to. Because you see, cooperating with the word often has to do with you saying the right thing. You're better off not saying anything. I heard this years ago from someone, and it ain't biblical, but she said, I just told the Lord, give me shut mouth grace. Now listen, there's no such thing as shut mouth grace, but you can't shut your mouth. That's on you. There's no shut mouth grace, but he touched his mouth, changed his language. I remember years ago, I was with one of the dear ladies that was part of ministry years ago, and she had gotten this prophetic word of what God was going to do to her, with her in ministry. She said, but you, John, you know, I got that word, but you, I can't see it. And I said to her, as long as you can't see it, it won't happen. As long as you can't see it, you say you can't see it, it won't happen. God changes his language. Brings him out of that place of speaking doubt and says, now you're going to speak my words. I put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me saying, now what do you see, Jeremiah? You see, that's the key, going back to what I said a moment ago. This sister said, I just can't see it. Well, as long as you can't see it, it's not going to happen. Can I help you with this? Sometimes you need to say it even though you can't see it. That's why we make the declarations that we make. I'm healed from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I don't care what the physician says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care about the diagnosis, the prognosis. Whatever I have to walk through, I'm healed. I am healed. I am prosperous. I live in abundance. I'm a giver, I'm a sower, and I'm generous. And I don't base that off of every time I look at my bank account and look for a certain balance. It is the reality of God's word working in me. You got to see yourself there. One prophet said, I see you in the future. And you look much better than you look right now. Just say that to somebody or say it to yourself. I see me in the future. I look much better than I look right now. I see you in the future. You look much better than you look right now. I see you, Mike, in the future. And you look much better than you look right now. He said, thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. Glory. He says, what do you see? Is that somebody coughing with me? What do you see? I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. Cooperating with the word of God means seeing what he's saying, seeing what he sees, even if you can't see it in the natural. You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. I am watching over my word to perform it. I am watching over my word to perform it. That ought to make about three of y'all happy right now. I am watching over my word to perform it. I am watching over my word to perform it. Don't think I'm asleep. Just because it hasn't happened yet, I'm watching over my word to perform it. There is time associated with the fulfillment of the word that I've given you, but I'm watching over it. I'm watching over you, and I'm watching over the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are seasons that we will go through in the midst of the waiting on the fulfillment of the word, if we're not disciplined in the word, knowing where to go in the word, to be able to find a word to stand on, then you can find yourself getting wearied in the midst of waiting for the fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You see, and the reason why I'm bringing that point up to you is because, you see, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah struggled because his word wasn't like everybody else's word. You see, there were other contemporaries and there were other prophets, and there was a lot of false prophets. And so I get leery of always it being a good word, always a word that, God, I see you blessed, and I see, and everybody's blessed. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, but sometimes, as a matter of fact, when you look in the scriptures concerning the prophets, when the prophets showed up in the Old Testament, it was never good. As a matter of fact, when they showed up, it's because the people of God had went off the rails. A leader had messed up. That's why in the scriptures, when God speaks to Samuel to go anoint Jesse's son who's going to be the king, he sends him there. And there was a little bit of fear and trepidation because he's wondering, why is he coming to my house? But he came to anoint who would be king. When the prophets started showing up, people started getting a little antsy. Because when the prophet came, then it came to bring correction. It came to bring a word to get things lined up and in order again. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God is not pleased with the warm and fuzzy prophets that we have around today. Every word from God, any word from God, is going to challenge you on multiple levels. Let me say that again. Every word of God, any word from God, will challenge you on multiple levels. So Jeremiah lived in this space where he wasn't going to be the kind of prophet that many other people wanted. And Jeremiah struggled because as he would share the word, now I'm still talking about cooperating with the word, and I'm talking about the word of God is working, he found himself challenged that what he was prophesying, they didn't want to hear. They kept wanting to hear that they're going to get out of here, they're going to be free, God's going to do this, it's going to get better, it's going to get better quickly. They're saying all the things that the people want to hear. So they became the favorite prophets. And it caused Jeremiah to start feeling some kind of way. And we see that in Jeremiah 20. And I want to read this because then we're going to go to Jeremiah 29. And then we're going to go over to Ezra and begin to tie this in completely when I talk about cooperating with his word. But this is one of those passages that not everybody runs to or reads, but it is a reality. It's a reality for any individual walking with God. It's a reality for any leader who's walking with God and endeavoring to lead the people of God. So in Jeremiah 20, verse 7, it says, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived." Have you ever felt deceived? Have you ever felt you heard a word from God and it didn't happen, so you felt deceived? That's a real feeling. Doesn't mean that the word is not true. It has to do with how you're processing the word in light of what you're dealing with. What you see and what you don't see. It says, "Oh Lord, you have deceived me. And I was deceived. You have overcome me with and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproof and derision all day long." And then he says this, "But if I say I will not remember him," he's saying now, if I just discount you altogether, "or speak any more of his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it, and I cannot endure it." This is where he says it was like fire shut up in my bones. Have you ever been in a place where God is speaking to you to say something and you just don't want to say it, but you know you need to say it, and it's on the inside of you and it just starts churning and burning on the inside of you? I'm talking about cooperating with the word, because church, hear me, and those that are watching by way of live stream, we've got to stand up and we've got to begin to say the things that are not popular. We've got to begin to declare the word as never before. We can't hedge on it. We can't allow ourselves to back up on it. It's like fire shut up in my bones. I choose not to placate. I choose not to try to pacify, to increase numbers. But we've got to declare the living word. We've got to declare the righteous word. We've got to declare the holy word. And Jeremiah is saying, "I'm troubled because I'm the only one that's willing to do this." Now hear me when I tell you, I'm not saying I'm the only one to do it. There's a whole lot. It's like when God said to the prophet, he said, "Listen, you ain't the only one. I got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to bow." But it's time for the church to arise. It's time for the church to stand up, speak the truth, declare the truth in power. I'm talking about cooperating with the word, cooperating with the word. So even though Jeremiah did not like it, he could not keep himself from cooperating with the word. Everybody was waiting for a good word. We're about to get out of this thing. Because here's what I want you to understand. Excuse me. In Jeremiah 29, starting at verse, Jeremiah 29, 11. Is the verse we all like, okay? But when you understand it in its context and historically, you see, they had already been in bondage. They're hoping to get out of bondage, but God is disciplining them while they are captive in the Babylonian system. But here's what you need to know. It will only go so long. It will only go so long. So even though it wasn't a word that they really wanted to hear, it really was a good word for them to hear. Jeremiah is grappling through what he knows God has said. Do I say it or do I just keep quiet? I'm tired of people not liking me. I'm tired of people talking about me. I'm tired of people throwing stuff at me. I'm tired of people threatening to kill me. Do I just keep my mouth shut? Or do I cooperate with the word? Do I cooperate with the one who's given me this word? You see, he's the one that said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. The moment you come in agreement, the moment you come in alignment, he says, now watch, I hasten to perform my word. God has a way of accelerating time to bring certain things into place. But in this word, in Jeremiah 29, now keep in mind, this is his attitude. I don't want to say it, but it's like fire shut up in my bones. I don't want to do it, but I can't stop. And he says, thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, let me pause there. Let me say this. It is human nature. Human nature to pursue God passionately in times of distress, to pursue him in times of difficulty. But can we have that same passion and that same pursuit when everything's are going well, when your bills are paid and your relationships are right and you got money in the bank and you're walking in health and wholeness? Can you still pursue him passionately? Can you still stay right with him and be passionately in love with him, passionately in pursuit of him, and not be drawn away or drawn into other things? God, knowing the nature of all of us, says in the book of I'm going to say Deuteronomy. I don't have to guess. Give me one second. Don't have to misquote. Yes, God. All right, y'all still with me? That was 6.5 of you. Okay. I just like using them numbers, y'all. Like, who would that half be? Yeah, that's the person that said, whatever. Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you. Just say the word. Come on, say, this is the word that God has commanded me to teach you. It says that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. You see, that's an added benefit to cooperating with the word. You live longer. There's an added benefit of obeying your parents. You live longer. It's the word. Oh, Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, that you will multiply greatly, just as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you in the land of milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. With all your might. Talking about passion now. All your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. Not just on your heart, in your heart. I'm talking about cooperating with the word now. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you get up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come to pass, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build. Now we're talking about the covenant. They are about to benefit from the covenant going all the way back to Abraham. You and I benefit from the covenant we have with God through Christ, the same covenant that Abraham had. Cities which you did not build, houses full of things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, talking about wells, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. And then he says this, watch yourself. Watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord. See, they had forgotten God. They had forgotten God, and they began to allow themselves to move into certain places where now they're entertaining idols, and they're dealing with people that they should not be dealing with. And God says, I've got to bring them back. The word of God is working. The word of God is working. He says, these people are mine. They shall be mine. They're all mine. So when Jeremiah brings this word, he says, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to bring you back to this place, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for your welfare, not for calamity, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search with all of your heart. Not half-heartedly, but all of your heart. It says, I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to a place from where I sent you into exile. That word spoken was already in motion. What I'm saying to you is this. The 70 years didn't start when he said it. The 70 years had already started. What he did was come and bring correction to what people thought was maybe going to be a little short term. And he says, no, you're going to be here to the end of 70 years. You're going to be here to the end of 70 years. So real quick, Pastor Deborah, put up Isaiah 44, verse 28. I want just two verses, Isaiah 44, 28 and Isaiah 45, 1. I want to give you these verses, give context, and then we'll be done. Isaiah 44, 28. Hallelujah. I'm putting it on the screen so you can see it and we can read this together. All right. Everybody can see it? Here we go. It is I who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform my desire, all my desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, she, keep going, and to the temple your foundation will be laid. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Now put up the other verse, please. Yes, 45:1. All right, let's read this together. Here we go. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. That's the word of God. He's declaring his word. The word of God is working. The word of God is working. He speaks about Cyrus before Cyrus shows up. Now hear me. Through my research, when Jeremiah is speaking this word, Cyrus isn't even born yet. I'm talking about the word of God working. I'm talking about the word of God working. Hey, my God. Is it possible that God can speak a word in one season, in one generation? And he who is to fulfill that word isn't even born yet? Now, hear me. For us, it should be, well, of course. All the words spoken concerning Christ before he got here. But the blessing is, and the revelation I want you to understand is, even though you don't see it now, doesn't mean it's not in the works. God's word is working. We simply need to continue to cooperate with the word. Jeremiah speaks a word that's yet to be fulfilled from someone who isn't even born yet. But God has no problem with that. You know why? He's God. And he can speak a word. And he doesn't speak the word and then stand back and try to figure out, now, how am I going to make that happen? I know I said Abraham told Abraham he's going to have a son, but we got to work on this. Why? Because his word is alive. His word is alive. I'm telling you, his word is alive. That's why, hear me, and I'm pulling this in. We're going to get out of here early today. Y'all like, okay, yeah, here we go. Pastor Kelvin said, you've spoken. Let every word be established. Ooh, my, my, my. God speaks the word. He is time and eternity. He's not just in time and eternity. He is time and eternity. All, he is all of it. So when he speaks the word, he already sees little Cyrus. You see, this Cyrus was Cyrus the second. There was a Cyrus. This is Cyrus the second. They called him Cyrus the Great. And so Jeremiah declares this word because this is a spiritual principle and a spiritual dynamic. Your words create constructs. Your words have the power of death and life. Your words create worlds. And what God looks for is a body of believers who are not afraid to say what they see. Jeremiah, what do you see? It takes living in a place in Him that allows you to see through the mess, see from above the mess, in order to see what His word is doing. And oftentimes He will say, I need you to say that right now. I need you to say that right now. Because the moment you say it, I can fulfill it. You see, the church, the ecclesia, we are in collaboration, cooperation with God, with Jesus. That's why it says they went about preaching the word, and he confirmed the word with signs following. Some things you got to be willing to say it before you see it. Jeremiah speaks this word, and at the end of the 70 years, now we're in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord, the good word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah. I love this passage of scripture. It causes me to go back and look at prophetic words I've received years ago. And say, has this been fulfilled yet? God, are you watching over this word? Am I cooperating with you so that this word can be fulfilled? Now, context again. Real quick, go back to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Put that back up again. Isaiah 45, verse 1. The Lord, thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. That assignment is fulfilled right here. In the first year, say the first year. Mm-hmm. His first year of office, Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and also put it in writing. God raised him up, gave him kingdoms, gave him authorities, gave him power, so that at the right time, he would stir Cyrus's heart and Cyrus would respond and cooperate with the word. I'm talking about cooperating now. The word of God is working. We got to cooperate with it. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Wherefore, there is among you and all among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. Every survivor, at whatever place he may live, now he's talking about in the regions. Let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Now remember what Jeremiah said. I will restore to you fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you. I will restore your fortunes. I will restore your fortunes. Cyrus says, every survivor to whatever place he may live, let the men of that place, meaning those that are in authority, support them with silver, gold, goods, cattle, together with a freewill offering. Not just giving them stuff, you're going to give them more than that. For the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. The word of God was working. The word of God is working. And for you and I, we have to continually give ourselves to cooperating with the word. Every word we spoke today when we did the declarations is in operation. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to cooperate with that word. Even when you don't understand it, you must by faith cooperate with that word. Many of you remember, and I've said this numerous times, in the movie Matrix, where they are going back and forth about a situation, and the governors and those in authority, they're struggling with what to do. And this one gentleman just says, well, it just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't understand it. And I love the statement because it's prophetic. He says, your comprehension is not a prerequisite for your cooperation. So I'm going to close with that. Because I believe oftentimes that's what God is saying to you and I. Just trust me. Just trust me. Because my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. Your comprehension is not a prerequisite for your cooperation. Just trust me and obey.